Hejsan svejsan, it's Jörgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast. Brought to you by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. This week, we're going to discuss why employees are the best storytellers of your employer brand. Let's start the show. Brian Cheney, how are you doing?
Hey, Jorgen, I'm doing great. It is a beautiful day in Austin, Texas.
Fantastic. Well, it's slightly overcast here in London, you'll be surprised to hear. But it's really good to reconnect. We were just talking before this recording about we did an interview back in 2011. So we go way back.
We do go way back, especially when in the employer branding years.
Yeah, absolutely. And could you just enlighten our audience on basically who you are and what you do, please?
Sure. I lead the employer brand team for internal talent attraction at Indeed, which means my team supports global recruiting and messaging, as well as marketing, content, and really empowering our global recruiting teams. So I'm very aware that working in recruiting for a recruiting tech company like Indeed is pretty meta. Yes. And I enjoy it. One of the cool things is that we actually get pulled into conversations around product and get to test things. So it's good to see behind the curtain. And I've worked for lots of different kinds of companies in the past. So not just from a vendor perspective, but from the Silicon Valley startup perspective, as well as financial, big corporate, technology. So lots of different perspectives have gotten me to where I am today.
Great. Okay. And today we wanted to tackle how employees are your best storytellers of employer brand. But before we get into our topic, I have to ask you, because you work for Indeed, what's your take on the bombshell that is Google for Jobs?
Well, that's a question that's come up a lot lately, and I'm pretty sure you're aware of this, but Indeed as a company has been in business for 13 years, back since 2004, and focused on just doing what's best for the job seeker, and that's actually our only mission, is to help people get jobs, and we have almost 5,000 employees globally dedicated just to that mission. And so as a company, we're pretty confident that we can continue to be successful no matter who enters the space, because when the job seeker is supported and enabled, we all win. So I feel like the rising tide and all that, that the competition is good and we welcome it, because in the end, the job seeker is going to be the one who benefits.
Yeah, and I think most people would agree that more players in a space will ultimately it will be better for the consumer. But when you're head to head with Google, who dominate search, surely, do you get a little bit nervous or confident?
So I think we're pretty confident. I think at first the only nervousness comes from this shroud of mystery. Mm-hmm. But when you think back about our mission and what we're doing and how many people are focused on it, it's hard not to be a little confident considering our timeline and how many people are just focused on this one goal. So I feel good about it. I look forward to seeing what develops, because like you said, every ecosystem that has increased competition just makes us all better.
Yeah, great. Okay. All right. So let's get into employee storytelling. Why is this important and why right now?
Well, I think it's been important for a long time. And employee storytelling is huge. I feel like employees have way more credibility than they used to, even just 10 years ago. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Edelman Trust research.
Yeah.
That they do every year, but they show consistently that people trust others who are like themselves more than they trust even brands or executives from those brands. And I ask people, so I share that information internally, because in addition to broadcasting what it's like to work at Indeed, we're also empowering the recruiting team. And so part of that is saying, hey guys, and gals, you should be doing this thing and that thing and sharing these stories. And we give them, we frame it up in a way that tells them that, hey, people trust individuals more than they trust big brands at the moment and very recently. And so if it's something that lets them know that they're a lot more powerful than they think they are, and being able to capture those stories well really helps showcase those perspectives in a way that just feels more trustworthy. Like there's less of a gloss or sheen or marketing spin to it. And that's one of the things that's really important for us to preserve as we're helping them capture those stories.
And could you give us some examples? You're capturing and basically spreading these stories from employees and by employees. Are we talking blogs? Are we talking podcasts, tweets? How does it look?
So for us, we have the channels that we monitor and manage, and those aren't going to be too surprising. So across those, there's blog content, internal and external. And I say internal just to kind of remind everybody that employer branding is not just the external branding message, but it also engagement and branding the employee experience internally as well. So I think that's really important to remember. We're in the process of launching an external blog on Indeed.jobs, which is actually where people go to find out about working at Indeed. So they go to Indeed.com to find out about the world's jobs, and they go to Indeed.jobs to find out about working with us. And so having that channel as well as other social channels where we're sharing content is really important. So to be specific, there was a post that happened, I want to say 2 weeks ago, where we highlighted someone who works, who is a one of the co-leads of one of our inclusion resource groups. So we used to call them affinity groups or employee resource groups. We call them inclusion resource groups because it's our way of sharing that no matter what your journey looks like, there is most likely going to be a group of like-minded individuals, people who share some kind of history or interest with you inside of Indeed. And so we highlighted one of the people from within the client services division that really shared his story about what he likes, what he's passionate about. It's a little bit of long form content for Facebook or for Instagram, but those we're doing more and more of as we sit down with them and we do the interview. Now we're piloting some podcast content as well. It's just going through the logistics of, okay, can we do this interview via Skype or Google Hangout? And can we make sure that we have good audio, right? So we want everything to be truthful. We want it to be accurate from their story. We also want it to be good content. So a great picture on Instagram will perform infinitely more well than a picture that's just okay, even though the message may be exactly the same. So it's understanding that, yes, we want to be truthful, but we also want to be our best selves, whether that's a great picture or whether it's just a great story or soundbite. So it's really helping people capture that.
Yeah. Okay. And what would you say the engagement is then? So if you're sharing a story about an employee and their journey, and it might be a great picture, the engagement, let's say this fantastic image that did perform really well on Instagram, would you say that the engagement comes mainly from Indeed employees, friends and family, or is it general people just on Instagram?
It's both, because one of the things that we do that's the key part of our strategy on Instagram specifically, and on likely Twitter as well, is really looking at trending related hashtags and being able to share those as part of the message. So part of it is, it has to be topical, right? We're not hashtag stuffing, but we're putting messaging in there that lets people find that content who are looking for related content. So to answer your direct question, we do have a lot of engagement from employees. So right now we have almost 5,000 employees globally. Mm-hmm. And so for us, that is a big chunk of our audience. But the cool thing about it is we encourage employees to share content as well. And using our branded hashtag called Inside Indeed, that hashtag allows people, first of all, allows employees to share their story, right? Because we want them to share their story unfiltered. We want them to share their excitement, what they're doing. And a lot of them do that. There's actually over 4,000 public Instagram posts right now using the Inside Indeed hashtag. And so that's one way to do it, to, you know, get employees engaged. But the other thing about it is that, you know, when someone is looking at Indeed, they can hop on that stream and see what other employees are talking about. So it's really both groups that we're engaging. And one of the cool things, and I think I may be jumping around a little bit, but one of the cool things that we tell employees is, you know, you want to refer your friends, right? You want to bring people into the company that you want to work with. And a question that I got from one of our employees out of the Dusseldorf office is, you know, first of all, you actually want me to share stuff? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we want you to share. It's important that you share. And her response was, well, I only have 67 followers on Instagram. And I said, well, how well do you know those people? And she's like, well, most of them are my friends or my family. And I said, well, aren't those the best people to hear about what it's like to work inside Indeed? And then, you know, if they're interested to learn more, they can follow the stream. And you could just see the light bulb go off. And she was like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I would agree. And I think most HR and recruiting geeks out there think this is a great idea. But surely there will be people who wouldn't share company updates to their friends on social in a million years.
Yeah, I think there you'll always find a percentage of employees who won't or don't share any kind of corporate message on social. So there's actually a separate study called the Weber-Shandwick study of activation. And they actually did a research group around what employees would willingly share, and they found that there's okay, I'm going to share the good, I'm going to share the bad, I'm going to share the ugly, what have you. So you think about, okay, what's good or at least neutral. And out of the people that they studied, there were over 1,000 people that they studied, and only 20, just under 21% of the people responded back that they would be willing to share neutral or positive information about their company publicly. So you're really talking about one out of every five people who willingly do that automatically without being asked.
So that's basically the HR recruitment team plus a few marketers.
good point. And we actually, that's actually one of the things that we're tracking now, is looking to see how the rest of the organization fares with sharing content as it relates to talent attraction, HR, and leadership, because we realize that yes, there are going to be a certain amount of people who automatically do it. And then there are going to be the people who straight up won't do it, but it's the people in the middle that really we try to convince, because they just haven't been a good reason. They haven't been given a good reason to share.
Yeah. Okay. So let's use you as an example there. How often do you share Indeed updates to your personal network? And how often do you think, your middle of the road employee, the regular Indeed person, how often would they share to their networks?
Well, I would say, just to touch on it, there are over 4,000 public posts on Instagram, and there are lots more that are private. So I would say we're approaching the 5,000 share mark on the Inside Indeed hashtag on Instagram, and a quick review of them does see quite a bit of HR and recruiting or talent attraction. So I would say that and I'm extremely sensitive when I see someone in product or engineering or QA or another group share a story, and I love it. Like, it gets me really excited, because we're like, okay, we're convincing, we're turning people into sharers. So my account, I'll speak to my account, which I'm, obviously you can imagine, I'm not going to be the typical sharer, because spreading the message and sharing it is part of my job. It's something that I enjoy, and I'm pretty lucky, because I get excited about a lot of the things that Indeed does to take care of its employees. So I actually naturally get excited, but then I also probably share a little bit more than your average bear. So for me, I would post about once a week. If you look at my personal Instagram or Twitter feed, I might post once or twice a week. But I also try to strike a balance too, right? Because I don't want people to think, oh, okay, he's just here to sell Indeed, as opposed to building relationships. You know, I've been in recruiting since 2004 as well. So I actually have been in recruiting as long as Indeed has been in recruiting. I've got opinions and relationships in and outside of my Indeed, out of working for Indeed. So I feel like it's good to have a balance there of my personal details. And that's something that we encourage our employees to do too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting because obviously I follow you on social and I wouldn't say that I've noticed many Indeed updates coming out from you. So either you're doing it in a really natural way, so it blends in with the other content, or it's just it's not that much going out. Okay, so what's Brian's fail-proof formula to success with employee storytelling?
So the first thing I'll say is nothing is fail-proof, right? But we're always in pursuit of that silver bullet or the process or the way that we can tell a story that will work. And the thing that we found is it's a little bit different with each group. So what works to sell someone, in sales, for example, is a very different message, is a very different story than or experience to sell than it would be when you're talking to someone in product or engineering. So they care about different things. And one of the things that I've done early on in my career or relatively early on is look at categories and motivators and really try to map that back to the content of the story that we're sharing. We're going through a content indexing process right now so that we can understand, hey, this is great content and people are excited or we're happy about it or there's pictures, but what does that speak to and how does that tie back to a motivator so that we can better understand the types of content that are working. So nothing is fail-proof, but we're consistently trying to not muddle up an employee's story, right? So being as faithful as possible to capturing their story, helping them crystallize their message, and we can help them if they want us to, but you know, everything that we broadcast, everything that we share is reviewed and approved by the employees themselves, which I think is really important, so that they feel like their voice is heard, not just figuratively, but literally as well.
Yeah. And could you give us an example of the motivators? So for update X, the motivator would be B or C.
Sure. So I'll give you an example. The motivators that I've come up with, they're really, really cheesy. It's an acronym and it's called, basically I ask people what gets you amped. So, amped is a very, very, American or English, saying, but AMPT stands for AMPT, which stands for advancement, money, people, and technology. So there's a little bit of basically it's an easy way to remember the categories, but there's a little bit of wiggle room in there. So for example, money is any kind of compensation or benefits or remuneration that you would get. Advancement is relative to the person, right? It could be advancement in the career, it could be advancement at the company, could be a lot of different things. People is the team that you work with every day and learn from. So are you and that ties back into the culture, not just the company's culture, but also the microcosm or microculture that exists where you would work. And then the technology is really more about innovation. So are you working for a company that's doing things that nobody else is doing? And that is a huge, huge motivator for people in engineering specifically. So the two highest motivators for those in engineering roles we found are, number one, are you going to give me tough problems to solve? Am I going to be challenged? And that speaks to the innovation or technology piece. And then secondly, who am I going to learn from? Who am I going to work with? Who is going to teach me, help make me better, whether it's a formal mentorship or a peer team environment? How am I going to pull myself up with the community that you've built inside of Indeed.
Interesting. Okay. Right. So that's the formula to success, hopefully. What, how can we avoid making mistakes, or is there anything you've learned the hard way?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake that I've ever made, and trust me, I have made some mistakes. I feel like the biggest mistake that I've ever made in my career for employer branding specifically, because I've made lots of mistakes that are unrelated to employer branding. But for employer branding, really not taking the time to understand the voice of the employee, and really just that's a big part of it. So time is a function, but also being able to spend time with them, not just, hey, I'm going to be sitting here thinking about this for a while, but I want to spend time, engage in conversation, kind of watch the employees in their natural habitat, right? So it's a little bit of a documentarian, but listening to that, paying attention, and directly asking. So really asking them, what do you care about? But not like, hey, how do I recruit people like you? But specific questions that speak to their personal journey. So one of the things that I've done in a previous life that we're going to be doing here at Indeed is what I call culture jam sessions. And that's getting groups of people in a room and asking them, what are the things? So I'll give you a couple of specific examples. So what's unique about the Indeed experience from a perks perspective? What is your favorite unique perk that you have here at Indeed? And so that's going to be everything from, oh, I love the fact that we have a barista in the engineering office to make me coffee whenever I need a pick-me-up in the afternoon. Or I really enjoy the fact that we have pet insurance because I have a dog who has who has seizures, or whatever that may be. Everyone has a different take on their benefits and how that and what that means to them. So that's one example of a question. But probably my favorite question to ask is, if working inside Indeed was a movie, what music would be on that soundtrack? So you learn a lot by that. You learn. Number one, you learn what kind of music your employees like to listen to, but you also learn how they feel when they come to work. Is it music that is quick and paced? Is it happy? What kind of personality does that have? And so not only can you tell a lot of stories by that, but you're also collecting fodder for your employer branding content, right? So you're gathering words that they use to describe all this stuff. You're also able to then pull together playlists around the different departments and say, hey, guess what? This is the playlist for the product team. This is what it feels like to work inside Indeed if you're in product. Here's the music that they like to listen to. And so you have a whole nother piece of content that you can share externally.
Wow. Okay. So two questions for you. What's your number one soundtrack song for your work experience at Indeed? And what's when you ask your employees at Indeed, what's the number one tune they say?
So we're still going through that process.
Give us some early results.
So I can tell you that the one song that stood out for me that I really identified with was a song by the band called Bleachers, and it's "I Want to Get Better," and it's about thinking about your journey and connecting with the people that you work with and understanding that they're challenging you to think a different way. So you're coming to work to be challenged and think differently and grow as part of that process. And it's really quick. It's got a really good beat. And it's one of those songs that you just turn up when you're driving in the car and you play the drums on your steering wheel.
So that's your favorite or the employee's favorite or both?
That's actually one that's been shared with me. And I actually have found a whole bunch of new music by asking that question. So I then add some of those songs to my playlist, but that's one that stood out for me as one that just hit me. And I was like, that's exactly right. I feel that way too.
So have you got a Spotify playlist going for this?
We do. So right now they're right now they're in development, so they're not shared in public just yet. They will be. And so what we'll be doing is rolling that into our content calendar. So as we take pictures of employees, we're asking them questions. One of the things that we'll also be doing is sharing their playlist or a song from that playlist that means something to them.
Very cool. And I'm going to do an interview with Ericsson, you know, the Swedish telecoms company, and they have done a project together with Spotify, I believe, and they have this site where you can see Ericsson employees in different countries, what their top songs are and what they play in the office. So sort of employer branding through music.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. All right. So let's say we're doing this. We're rocking this employee storytelling program. Now the CFO comes up and says, what's the return on investment here? And what do we say then, Brian?
Well, the first thing you don't say is that, we're all sitting around roasting marshmallows and singing Kumbaya, right? Because the CFO is not gonna appreciate that, even though that would make a great video. Yeah. But what we do say is I partner with the head of talent attraction, and we look at our systems that we've set up and how we can use those systems. We have a CRM in place that's also our applicant tracking system. Mm-hmm. And so we use that system to really capture the numbers that show an indicator of success from our employer branding activity. So there's three levels. So the first one is the awareness. And so awareness is, do I know who you are? Am I engaging with you on your Facebook page or your Twitter channel or your Instagram account? Am I engaging with you at a certain level that shows that I'm aware, whether I'm following you or engage with a piece of content, right? So that's awareness. The second one is affinity. And so what I mean by affinity is, not only are you aware of who we are, but you actually start to care about who we are. And when you care, you want more information. And so you're able as a potential candidate to join our talent networks. So not a talent community per se, because I know there's a lot of schools of thought around that, but our talent networks allow people to opt in to specific kinds of content that we're curating. And so if you look at Indeed.jobs, you'll see the site organized by two different things chiefly. The first is by department. So you can see engineering, marketing, human resources, search quality, things like that. So we have those, the talent networks organized that way, but also by location. So all of our global offices have pages as well. And you have the ability to opt into that communication or opt into that talent network. And we're actually going through a process to, it's kind of at a baseline right now. And we're revamping that process a little bit, making, adding content. So as you know, most initiatives depend on how good the content is. And so we're at a process of going through that content and updating it so that those stories are available to the people who really want to know about the product team or the marketing team, and have it be specific. So we're not marketing jobs. If people want to find our jobs, they know how to do that. But what we're doing is we're giving them the ability to get to know, to get a glimpse inside Indeed better than they can from the outside. And so that is the affinity step. And then most recruiters will appreciate our last step, which is application, right? So are you ready to apply to a job? And which job? And what does that timing look like? So that is the ultimate conversion measure for us, or ROI. So we can't control what someone's timeline looks like. So if you're out there, if you're an engineer, anything could make it the right time for you to look for a new opportunity, right? You don't know what that is. There's so many different things. It can be completely non-business related. Something in your personal life could say, hey, you know what? I need more balance in my work, so I need to look at a different job. And then that's a trigger for you, so that changes. But what we can do is keep the conversation going and sharing the right content so that when you're ready, we're ready to talk to you. And those are the three steps. Those are the three steps that we measure from an employer brand perspective. So just to recap, it's Awareness, do you know who we are? Affinity, do you care who we are? And then application, are you ready to have a real recruiting conversation?
The AAA of employer brand. I like it. Yeah. Okay, right. And so if we look at beyond Indeed, could you name any other companies that you think are doing employee storytelling right?
There are several. And as you know, our community of employer branding professionals is relatively small. Mm-hmm. I think it was about 3 years ago, I did a search to see how many people were in just the States. And I came up with just over 1,000 people that had that responsibility, had that within their profile. It's grown since then. More companies are prioritizing it. I think companies like Amtrak are doing a really good job. Companies like, Tenable, so that's T-E-N-A-B-L-E, are doing a great job. I know people at these companies. And then the big one that a lot of people will have seen in TV spots over the last year or so that's doing a great job with employer branding is GE or General Electric. Yeah. They're doing a great job of telling their story on a larger scale. And one of the funny things about GE is that I know some of the team members who are working on that content, but their initial push into that was not driven by employer brand or talent attraction. It was actually driven by the corporate brand team, and it had a huge benefits for talent attraction and help branding GE as a company that was probably a little different than what people assumed it was. And so the value of knowing people at these different companies is also part of why I've started an organization called talentbrand.org. And this is a community of people who are focused on recruitment marketing, who are focused on employer branding, and they can learn from each other. They can share information. They can ask questions. They can share opportunity. Because it's a small group, when there's a company trying to fill a role, like everybody knows about that role because mm-hmm. not only are the recruiters like hitting the same people, but like we're all talking, we're all sharing information through back channels, through Facebook groups, and chat messages. And so I find it's really important just to be upfront about sharing that information and building a community.
Yeah, and I think it's Will Staney. A co-founder of Talent Brand.
He is. Yeah. So both he and I are good friends, and we've been talking for years about how the industry, which is like a niche within a niche, right? So we're employer brand and recruitment marketing. That's a niche within recruiting and talent attraction, which is a niche within human resources. And so it's understanding that there are very few people who have practical experience. There are tons of people who talk about it and understand at a very high level why it's important, but there are very few people who've executed on it, who have skinned their knees, who have those battle scars and have learned from it and can share that knowledge. So that's one of the things that he and I continually work on, to build community and knowledge sharing. So again, it's not a zero-sum game, meaning there's not one person or one team or one company that can do it really well and the rest of us lose. We can all win by learning from each other. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that we can take away from employer branding in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's talentbrand.org, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
So, and beyond that, where can our listeners find out more about your work and where can they connect with you?
So probably the easiest way is to find me on Instagram, on Twitter, just on any network, really. They can search Brian Chaney. As being a brand person, I've been pretty vigilant about maintaining a consistent presence across networks. But follow me, connect with me. I'm always looking to learn. But if you want to learn more about the talentbrand.org organization, go to talentbrand.org, submit a request. We'll add you to several different groups and welcome you, because we're also looking for fresh eyes, fresh perspectives, and willing to talk just about any time about employer branding and sharing that experience.
Fantastic. Brian, thank you so much for your time. And let's not leave it 6 years to do another interview. What do you say?
I am completely on board with that, Jorgen.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Brian and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find on Undercover Recruiter as well as employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, in other news, big shout going out to my friends in Romania, the learning network in OGI Europe. I had the pleasure of spending a day in Bucharest this week, facilitating a workshop on innovation in employer branding to the best and the brightest HR recruiting pros in that country. Pretty hot down there compared to London, but big thank you to all my Romanian friends. If you want to learn more about LinkHumans or the work that we do, if you have any questions around employer brand, feel free to reach me at jorgen@linkhumans.com or just reach out on social media somewhere. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey, Dom.
A recruiter passed away and went to heaven, and she was knocking on the door, and she said, hey, can I be let in? And the gatekeeper at the pearly gate said, well, we've started a program where you have to spend 1 day in hell and 1 day in heaven, and then you can make up your mind where you want to go. And she was like, okay, well, where do I go first? And they said, well, you're gonna go to hell first. And so she went to hell and looked at this beautiful scenery. There was a golf course, there were mountain ranges, and there were all of her friends and family were there. She got to visit with, and just was able to eat whatever she wanted and really enjoyed it. And they said, okay, well, your one day in hell is done, and next you get to spend your day in heaven. And so she's like, okay. So she went to heaven and was able to walk around in the clouds and play around with some harps and hear beautiful music and talk philosophy. And at the end of that day, they said, hey, it's time to make your decision. And she said, I really enjoyed both, but I got to tell you that I'm probably going to choose hell. I just really enjoyed it more. And they said, okay, you got it. And so the next day, she reported downstairs, and it was this unbelievably hot inferno with misery and fire and lava and pain. And she was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't understand. Like what happened? Where was everything that I saw? And the gatekeeper said, well, yesterday we were recruiting you. Today you're just staff.